Be careful. His hand slid around to rest upon her shoulders as he looked deep into her eyes. Be very careful, Charlian. Regis and Michael and Benjamin and all the rest will guard you, but never forget the Temple Loyalists are out there somewhere, and they've already shown they're not shy about resorting to bloodshed. Most of my Carisians are already prepared to love you as one of our own, but three of them tried to murder Michael, and someone else burned down the Royal College, and we still don't know who it was or how much organization there may have been behind it. So don't forget there are still daggers out there, and that not all of them are going to be made out of steel.
I won't.
The corners of her expressive eyes crinkled with an odd sort of amusement, and she snorted.
Don't you forget that you're talking to someone who grew up in Queen Isabel's shadow. I know all about political machinations and court intrigues. Yes, and about assassins, too. And if I were likely to forget, Edward will see to it that I don't.
I know. I know. He held her close again, shaking his head. I just can't stand the thought of something happening to you.
Nothing is going to happen to me, she assured him. You just see that nothing happens to you either, Your Majesty.
With Bryon, General Chairman, and Merlin all looking out for me? It was his turn to snort, and he did it rather magnificently, she thought. I won't say that nothing could happen. After all, there's always lightning, forest fires, and earthquakes. But somehow I don't see anything less than one of those getting through to me.
See that it stays that way.
She reached up and caught the lobes of both ears, holding his head motionless.
I've already told Captain Athrawes that he'd better not come home to Corris without you.
I'll bet that put the fear of God into him, Caleb said, smiling appreciatively.
I don't know about God, she told him, but I did my best to put the fear of someone a bit less powerful but more immediate, shall we say, into him.
Caleb laughed out loud. Then he sobered once again.
It really is time, love, he said softly.
I know. Time and the tide wait for no man, she quoted.
Not without every general, admiral, and ship's master in the entire invasion fleet seriously considering regicide, at any rate. Carisian seamen hate missing the tide.
Then I suppose we'd better get this over with.
Despite her cheerful tone, she felt her lower lip trying to quiver. She suppressed the reflex sternly and tucked her hand into the elbow of his proffered arm as he escorted her out of the cabin where they'd actually managed to find genuine privacy even on board a crowded warship. The deck outside that cabin made the ship's crowding abundantly clear. Caleb's flagship was the newest and most powerful unit of what had just become the Imperial Carisian Navy. She was an improvement on the dreadnought which had served as Caleb's flagship for the Armageddon Reef campaign. That ship had gone down after the Battle of Darkos Sound, and originally this ship had been intended to carry the same name. But Caleb had decreed a change. Carisian tradition prohibited naming warships for people who were still alive, so instead of the name he really would have preferred, his new flagship had been christened Empress of Carus.